Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. حيا على الفلاح. حيا على الفلاح. الصلاة خير من النوم. الصلاة خير من النوم. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
آمين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. And once again, Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother Abdul Muttaqin Muhammad, welcoming you to the Ummah Reflects, our podcast where we strive to help the believers get off in the morning to a good start during the blessed month of Ramadan. Let me thank each and one, every one of you for taking time out of your schedule to join us these mornings as we pray that Allah will guide the words of our guest speaker and aid us all in our growth and development as believers. We were blessed to hear from our brother in the throwback, Brother Imam Abdullah Quick, who spoke to us about the verse in the Quran wherein Allah says that Ramadan is the month in which the Quran is revealed. He said to us that so many people say to the believers, how can you abstain from food and drink for these long periods of time? He said, but people abstain from many things. Some people abstain from different types of food for medical reasons, such as diabetes or allergies, peanut allergies, for example. He says some people, for social reasons, abstain from pants because the pants are so pants are so tight today, it looks like they are painted on. So people have anorexia. They want to be thin so they can get into the thin pants. He said people fast for political reasons, such as hunger, and to gain attention, or hunger strikes, to gain attention of the authorities. He says some people fast because in their faith tradition, eating and drinking is to kill desires. He said to us, but Allah says in Quran that fasting has been prescribed for us, as it was prescribed for those before us, that we may gain taqwa, or God consciousness, this taqwa. And he said, we as Muslims are not fasting for social or political reasons. We are fasting to gain God, or closeness to God, or God consciousness, and a closeness to Allah. We have this consciousness that will help us in the world. We thank Allah for the beautiful words of our beloved brother Imam Abdullah Quick. We thank Allah for our guest speaker this morning. And we are honored and blessed to have our brother who will take us further to our program, Brother Jamil Muhammad. Brother Jamil.
Thank you, sir. Dear brother, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, my brother.
Thank you, my dear brother. Assalamu alaikum, everyone, and Ramadan Mubarak. We are in the right place at the right time. So in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but He, and that Muhammad is His messenger. My brothers and sisters, it is my honor and privilege to be in front of you once again and to be at the circular table with you, sharing brotherhood, sisterhood, fellowship, and the universal love of the Brotherhood of Islam. Dear brothers and sisters, as we come forward during the segment of the program, usually hosted by our big brother, Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, I'm reminded of something that Brother Akbar would always do for us. And by means of transparency and disclosure, I am blessed to be a little brother of Brother Akbar now since 19, blah, blah, blah. And I said blah, 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 because I don't want you to think I'm an old man, but I guess I am. At this point, Brother Akbar was and has been and continues to be a light of example for us. One of the things that Brother Akbar always asked us to do was to study, to read. When you met Brother Akbar, you always encountered him with a book that someone else wrote in one hand, and that either green book or that red book in his other hand, in which he wrote and journaled and observed what he saw on his journey in Islam. One thing we learn in this great expression of faith is that we can reflect the words of Allah from Quran. We can, in fact, set our faith for religion, and answer the call to be upright. And being upright is the nature made by Allah in which He has created men. And we bear witness that there is no altering Allah's creation. The Holy Quran continues, that is the right religion, but most people know not. There in Surah Al-Rum, Ayat 30. We are reminded this morning of the fact that if Muhammad goes up, we go up. If Muhammad triumphs, we have victory. If Muhammad is challenged, then we are challenged. But we have accepted Islam. So we now must be made confident in the victory of Islam. As this morning's broadcast unfolds, we have another few seconds to share with you the power of what you'll hear this morning. I want each of you to know that we are the people of Allah. I want each of you to know that wherever you are, however you see things, regardless of your cultural practice, your geographical location, your demographic category, or subcategory, you are still a part of the great Ummah of Islam. So you must be prepared to withstand the slings and arrows of persecution coming at you and me from the world around us. I reference Brother Akbar as I leave, reminding you that if we stay ready, we don't have to get ready. I'm going to say it again. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. How do you stay ready? You stay read up, prayed up, and you prepare yourself for the battle ahead of you. I'm moved this morning by the words of an author, the great historian Abdul Hamid Siddiqui. And he wrote a book that reminds us that Muhammad is attacked, he's maligned, he's slandered, defamed, and evil spoken of, yet he continues. In Siddiqui's book, The Life of Muhammad, he writes the following passage that I think applies this morning as I give way. I quote, "The allegation that the Holy Prophet was under the influence of evil spirits has also been categorically repudiated by the Holy Quran. How is it that a man who is controlled by a demonic being or a supernatural power of low grade, quite other than the power that reigns over the universe, can set for himself the sublime purpose of destroying the spell of superstition, which has been interposed between man and his creator, of restoring the rational and sacred idea of divinity amidst the chaos of material and disfigured gods of idolatry, and of effecting a moral regeneration of a society which had touched a low ebb of degradation, and of giving to humanity a superb code of conduct, which does not guide man merely in the sphere of individual righteousness, but also in the spheres of politics and economics and law and morality. It is impossible for anyone who studies the life and character of Muhammad, who knows what he taught and how he lived, to feel anything but reverence for that noble soul, the greatest of the apostles of Allah. Can a person under the control of an evil spirit develop such deep consciousness of his inner self and all of its different aspects, the consciousness of God Almighty with his numerous attributes, the awareness of the sublimity of his mission and the stern obstacles that stood in his way, the awareness of the qualities of his friends and the stubbornness of his foes, and yet perfect harmony within himself? Such rare qualities of head and heart are never to be found in those who are under the influence of evil spirits. History shows not a single example of such like persons whose message created one of the most balanced and noblest civilizations of the world. You are balanced. You are noble. Your companion errs not, nor does he deviate. We are in the time of the validation and proof of the message of Muhammad. We are in the validation and the proof that every ayah of the Holy Quran is specifically and divinely arranged for the purpose of the elevation of humanity out of the deepest, darkest period in all of history. This is the time, and this is what we have at our stake. So our guest speaker this morning is a scholar and a journalist who comes to us from down under. He comes to us from Australia. this morning. His name is C.J. Werlemann, the published author, political commentator, and activist who has dedicated his journalism career to exposing discrimination and injustices against Muslim communities around the world. Insights the mainstream media too often ignores. So we want to hear from him these insights, or a few of them, this morning on the Ummah Reflects. But I reflected this morning with you to let you know that I'm standing in this place by Allah's permission and with the consent of Dr. Nisa Muhammad and the organizers of the Ummah Reflects. And I would be remiss if I did not salute the great influence, the great work, and the great brotherhood of my big brother, and for you, many of you, he's a big brother too, our brother minister, Abdul Akbar Muhammad. So now, let's get ready to hear from Brother Werlemann all the way from Australia on the Ummah Reflects.
I'm C.J. Werlemann. Please don't forget to subscribe to our show. Now let's get into it. Palestinians have been betrayed by the United Nations, Western governments, Arab regimes, and now the International Court of Justice, which failed in its duty to order an immediate ceasefire in Gaza last Friday. But there's one thing that will never fail the Palestinian resistance, and that's the religion of Islam. Now stay with me here, because things are about to get wild. You see, to understand an oppressor's weakness, you first need to identify and understand his greatest fear. And for Israel, a white settler colonial state located in the heart of the Muslim world, its greatest fear is demographics. In other words, Israel fears Muslims or Arabs will change the country's demographics in a way that it can no longer plausibly claim to be a Jewish state, which is why Israel so brazenly violates international law by refusing 6 million Palestinian refugees their lawfully protected right to return to their homes and land in occupied Palestine. So now that you know this, I want to bring to your attention just two words that stood out for me in this November 18 article. An article that gained a lot of attention because it explains why so many left-leaning Western women have converted to Islam since Israel's genocide in Gaza began nearly 4 months ago. But the two words that were largely overlooked by many commentators were the words Jewish revert, which became one of the most popular hashtags on TikTok, one that has now attracted hundreds of thousands of posts. For me, this is the most remarkable and uplifting story of this conflict because it's one that has gone almost totally unreported until now. You see, the conversion of Israeli Jews to Islam is the sum total of Israel's worst nightmares because converts not only threaten demographic change, but also become outspoken critics of Israel's genocidal strategies in occupied Palestine and critics of the way in which the Zionist state has corrupted Judaism.
There's one simple sugar hack anyone can use to reset their blood sugar almost overnight. Did you know that you can pee?
When I became Muslim, I was told by somebody that I had turned my back on my people. I had turned my back on my Jewish identity, my Jewish people. However, I'm actually closer to traditional Judaism now as a Muslim than I ever was as a secular liberal Jew.
His testimony is echoed by Jewish journalist Mahdi Majid, who converted to Islam and slammed Israel, despite having held close friendships with high-ranking Israeli officials. He said, and I quote, "I was not a Muslim, but now I believe in Islam, thanks to God who guided me to find the truth after much research," end quote. Jewish converts to Islam, like him, are now causing Israel real headaches. So much so that a Jewish supremacist organization called Lahava was established to lure Muslim reverts back to Judaism. What's happening in Gaza today? It's with great irony that Lahava came to prominence in 2014, the year Israel carried out a 53-day invasion and bombardment of the Palestinian territory, a bloody siege that claimed the lives of more than 2,500 Palestinians and left much of the territory in total ruins. It was in the midst of this violence that a Jewish woman dared to marry a Palestinian Muslim man, sparking nationwide outrage in the state of Israel. The co-founder of Lahava says that while the group doesn't know the exact number of conversions taking place in Israel, she says that the number is on the steady rise and therefore causing great concern among Israeli leaders. her fears were compounded by testimony from popular Islamic scholar Yasir Qadhi, who says that the number of Jewish converts to Islam is growing under the radar in Israel because new converts fear being targeted by Lahava.
Now, when I was in Aqsa, I met a brother there who knew me from online, and he said, look, I need to introduce you to a group, but you cannot take any pictures. You have to be on the low. Don't come with anybody, just yourself in Masjid al-Aqsa. And I said, who are these? He said, we are giving da'wah to some of the Yahud, but we're doing it not publicly. Because if you do it publicly, it's going to be a huge trouble. So I said, there are actually converts here in this land? And he told me, this brother, we estimate at least 1,000 people have converted. We know around 300-400. And from those 300-400, we know that there are others. The majority of them are not saying anything to anybody. They come and learn what they need to and then go back to their daily lives.
This is why Lahava is now carrying out violent foot patrols to threaten and intimidate Jews who have entered relationships with Palestinians.
The dangerous time is when small groups are walking around and want to find Arab people to attack them.
Islam's growing popularity among Jewish Israelis also explains why Israel has carried out multiple violent raids on Islam's third holiest site during the past year. These raids are meant not only to intimidate Palestinian worshippers, but also send a direct message to potential Muslim converts that they will face the full fury of the Jewish state if they renounce Judaism and or Zionism. The destruction of 80% of Gaza's mosque is also meant to send a similar warning. But it's here that Israel is fighting a losing battle, because even the most ardent Zionists are discovering how Zionism contradicts the teachings of Judaism and how Islam brings its followers closer to God.
So I went to Jewish school. I was also actually a staunch Zionist. I was super, super pro-Israel. I held really closely to my religion and to, I guess, what I thought was my nationality, being Israeli. But at some point I realized that actually accepting Islam and being Muslim and practicing Islam would actually make me a better Jew. And I wasn't separating myself from Judaism. It was the same God.
Her changing attitudes towards Zionism in Israel are echoed by Orthodox Jewish rabbis.
Zionism is basically built up on mistrusting God, don't believe in God, don't trust God. From the other side, Judaism is built up on trusting in God. The state of Israel is a rebellion against God, and they will not succeed. They will come to an end. A person who can justify genocide, a person who can commit genocide, I can't count him as a Jew.
This academic research paper says that more and more Jews are converting to Islam for a variety of reasons. And while the study focused on Yemeni Jews living in Israel, it found that they perceive a weakening of Jewish institutions and the growing strength of Islam around the world. But as for Israeli Jews of European descent, many are now discovering the lies they've been fed about Islam and the Palestinians via the genocide in Gaza.
They keep researching and learning about what's happening in Palestine right now. They can't stop crying.
This is a call-in to all Jews who support Palestine. When did you realize that the Zionist mythology of Israel was a lie?
And why do so many Jews support Israel despite it committing war crimes against Palestinians? And the truth is, we're not fed accurate information.
If this doesn't give you reason to be hopeful and optimistic about the future of Palestine, then I'm not sure what will. Because there's no denying that the world is experiencing a transformational moment, one that's partly inspired by the shining light of Islam, a light now seen by Jews, who previously saw only darkness due to the pervasiveness of Zionist lies and propaganda. The world is changing. You can feel it. And this program will continue to fight until every Palestinian is free. Anyway, that's my time for today. Please don't forget to subscribe to this channel. And we kindly ask you, please support our effort to expose and confront injustices in the Muslim world by becoming a member of this show at patreon.com/CJWorleman. We can't produce, sustain and grow this show without your help. And we offer exclusive benefits to those who do. For now, good morning, good night, wherever you are, and stay blessed.
Wow. MashaAllah, wow.
I say that again. All praise is due to Allah. Mr. Werleman, thank you very much for your powerful, powerful documentary or your words. And we would have the Umar report today. Now it shares with us why someone recently converted to Islam. Brother Shaggy.
First of all, Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. I ask Allah to bless us in this wonderful month of ours and to make it a season of mercy, a season of forgiveness and acceptance, and a season of alleviation for our brothers and sisters in Gaza and all over the world. Allahumma ameen. Some of you missed earlier today, but you saw the videos online. Alhamdulillah, we welcomed a brother to Islam a few hours ago. Kind of well known. Some people know him. And we welcome the sister as well. So if I could have Sister Ray, if she's there, I don't know if she made it inside the musalla or not. In any case, she hasn't made it. Hopefully the sisters can at least greet her and welcome her, inshallah. But Brother Sean accepted Islam a few hours today. For those of you that, takbir, may Allah bless him and his wife and allow them to be firm, sincere, steadfast. For the last few years, there have been multiple discussions, and embracing Islam the night before Ramadan is interesting. So he's fasting, they're both fasting tomorrow, inshallah, and they're ready to start, and they've been asking many questions about how to start. I just wanted to give them an opportunity to just share, maybe for 2 minutes, inshallah, 3 minutes, just a few words about why now, what brought you to Islam at this point, and also allow you. By the way, I said welcome home, I didn't mean they're moving to Dallas. I keep getting messages about people saying, you know, I'll rent my house. No, they're not moving to Dallas yet. But alhamdulillah, we say welcome home to the community of Islam and, of course, the Valley Ranch Islamic Center community in particular. But Brother Sean, if you can just talk to, you know, why now? And what about the circumstances in the world and just everything that's happened caused this change of heart after all these years of looking into Islam for you and your wife?
Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. It's my honor to be here with you all tonight. Sheikh Omar is a dear friend and brother to me, and I want to start there because my friendship with him means everything to me. And never once, we've been friends now for nearly 10 years, never once has he pressured me or squeezed me in any way. When he told me today, he said, Sean, this is something I've been praying about for 8 years. It surprised me. And then it made sense to me because this decision, it felt easy even for my wife and I both. And my wife, who's an amazing woman, she did not make this decision because I pressured her. She made this decision because she felt it on her heart as well. And that was even another confirmation for me. But I don't know that I would be here today without the past 6 months of suffering and pain and trauma that we've seen in Gaza. And so many men and women and families there have welcomed me as their friend and have allowed me to walk with them through their grief and their pain, but also through their faith and strength and resilience. And it has touched me in the most profound ways to see people right now in the most dangerous, traumatic place on the planet still be able to sometimes look at nothing but rubble and the remains of their family and still see meaning and purpose in life. And their faith and their devotion to Islam has not only opened my heart, but has opened the heart of millions of people around the world. And so thank you for allowing me here. Certainly I want to honor our dear brother Malcolm X, who introduced many of us to Islam generations ago and first even softened my heart to Islam as a teenage boy. And to all of my dear Muslim friends, men and women, who have been the most kind and compassionate people in my life and in my wife's life. Many of them flew here from around the world to be with us, and I'm so grateful for that. And so more than anything, it's been friendship, sincere friendship, and just the deep devotion and faith of the Palestinian people that has moved my heart. And I can't wait. I haven't had a chance to check in with any of my friends there yet. I was able to tell many of them that today was going to happen, and I can't wait to check back in with them and just share how happy and excited we are about the rest of our lives. So thank you for welcoming us home. I appreciate it.
All praises are due to Allah. All praises are due to Allah. Now we will have our sister Nisa Islam, who will give us a fast back. Sister Nisa.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent and Merciful, I bear witness, there's no God but Allah, and I bear witness Muhammad is his messenger. Our fast fact of the day is Allah wants to be first in your life. Trust in Allah and he won't fail you. Let me repeat that. Allah wants to be first in your life. Trust in Allah and he won't fail you. Throughout history and recorded in the Quran, Allah has shown the results of having faith and trust in him. Allah inspired Musa's mother to place her newborn baby into a newly built basket and send him floating down the river to save his life. Imagine you as a new parent being told the best you could do to save your baby is to send him down a river. How many of us would even do that? She wasn't sure where he was going, but she trusted Allah's wisdom. Baby Musa ended up with the tyrant Pharaoh. Musa's mother trusted Allah despite her fears and anxiety. Imagine Allah telling you to put your baby in a basket and send him down the river. I mean, for real, how many of us would do that? How many of us would have that much trust in Allah? Yet Allah rewarded that trust by bringing her baby right back to her as his wet nurse to protect from the horrible Pharaoh that wanted baby boys killed. Musa's mother gave him up. She was attached to her baby as any mother would. She gave up her love at the request of Allah. In doing so, Allah brought her baby right back to her. This is a lesson for us who are attached to things that may not please Allah. Give up what is keeping you from making Allah a priority. Give it up. It belongs to Allah anyway. Give it up and Allah will return it to you free of the attachment that separated you from him. Once free of any and all attachments other than Allah, it allows us all to be divine servants of his will. Our fast fact of the day is Allah wants to be first in your life. Trust in Allah and he won't fail you. Thank you for listening. Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Nisa. Thank you for the fast fact. For real, for real. All praises are due to Allah. We were now, brothers and sisters, our reading for today. We're on day 7. It starts with chapter 5, verse 82, through chapter 6, verse 110. Surah 5, ayat 82, through Surah 6, ayat 110. And now we will ask our brother, Brother Shaheed, will he close us with prayer? Brother Shaheed.
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Dear Muslims, let us pray. قل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار Our Lord, grant us the good things of this world and the good things of the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, as we close, on behalf of our guest speaker this morning, Mr. C.J. Werlemann and his family, we thank Allah for the powerful, powerful words that he gave us this morning. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we thank Allah for him and all that he has done and is doing to spread this mighty word of Islam. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, we thank Allah for each and every one of you and all that you do and have done to aid the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in spreading this mighty word of Islam. On behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Brother Shaheed, Sister Majida, and each and every one of you, and on behalf of the mighty ministers and imams of Islam, I say, preach hard today. Let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah, Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Glory be to Allah,
glory be to Allah,
all praise to Allah,
all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah.
Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah,
walhamdulillah,
wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi.